Hi, this is Pastor John. Thank you for coming to the website today. And thank you for joining me for another very short but important webcast Bible study. God has just put it on my heart. Bring some old-fashioned Bible studies. Just, John, open up the Bible. Share some classic scriptures. The ones that you grew up on for your whole spiritual life. Share it with that new group of believers out there, the ones that come to your website day after day, week after week, in the middle of the night, looking for a solace, something to bless their hearts by. So, all right, Lord, I'll do it. I'll present this study in such a way that it has that kind of effect on our lives. And I'm glad that you can spend that time with me. I'm Pastor John, and you've come to the website. Thanks for coming to the webcast. Open up your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. Yes, that's that very well-known scripture that most of us are very well accommodated with. We understand what this scripture is all about. Let me read it to you. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life." What a great, great verse. The Son's mission is bound up in the supreme love of God for the evil, sinful world of humanity. That's right, God does love us. In a world that at times we feel that no one loves us, and I've been there on many occasions. Who really loves me? Who really cares about what I do? You know, the frustration of life itself, how am I going to make it the next day? When we think of all of the perplexities that come upon us, loved ones that used to love us, now they left us for something else, because marriages are not based upon true, compassionate love for one another these days. They're based upon, what's in it for me? What can you do for me? How can we survive in this social economy today? Does anyone love you in your church anymore? When you go to church, it seems like attending church is nothing but a political rally meeting of communists, a meeting to try to get you to meet in small groups, to go into the little green book of purpose-driven. Is that what your life is all about? That scripture says, "For God so loved the world," that is, the sinful people in the world, "that he gave his only begotten Son." He gave Christ Jesus. Look at the way that Jesus put it in John chapter 6, verse 32. "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." You see, Jesus Christ is that bread. Jesus Christ is that solace. Jesus Christ is that comforter. In John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus says these words. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Isn't that outstandingly, magnificently wonderful? Did you know that it was words like this years ago when I was a young Christian man driving to work, when I used to work on San Fernando and Fletcher Drive in Los Angeles, California, when I was a warehouseman? I'd leave my house every morning around 7:30 on the way to work, and I would hear Bible expositors let me know that Jesus Christ is that bread which came from heaven. Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on in John chapter 12, verse 47, and he says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe," Jesus says, "I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me," in verse 48, he says, "he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him." And then he qualifies and classifies what's going to judge the unbeliever. "My words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." These are the words of our Lord. We can take blessed assurance that Jesus Christ is ours. Our theme scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son." There might be one of you listening right now, and your whole world is just falling apart. Man, you know, your business has crashed. Man, you got a loan against a house. And they're coming to repossess the car. You can't afford to pay the lease on the office anymore. The big 50,000-foot house or whatever square footage house you got, you know, upstairs, swimming pool, backyard. You were loving, giving the barbecues, entertaining your family and your friends and your guests. All that's gone. The bank is getting ready to repo the house. You try to talk to your parents to try to move back in with them, and they said, "Boy, I told you not to do that. You can't come around here. Them three snotty-nosed kids, I don't want you hanging around me." And then your girlfriend won't even talk with you no more, right? You got a wife, but you had a girlfriend on the side. Because, see, that's when you got your kicks on, because the money was flowing and the cognac was, you know, hey, come on. Now it's all no more. Young man, you're sitting there and your head's all down. You're looking in the mirror and you start to cry and you feel ashamed. Listen to this preacher. God so loved you that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, that if you just believe in him, it's going to be all right. Because all of us have sinned and rebelled against him. But you have to understand that the intensity of the greatness of God's love supersedes all the sin that we've done. The Father gave his unique and beloved Son to die on a cross some 2,000 years ago for me, for you. I've seen sinners sin. I've sinned. Sin feels real good for a season, just for a short moment. Because you escape. You escape in it, man. You escape in it. And it feels so good for the moment. But then after that, the lingering effects on it eats at you. It tears you up. But God provided for us. For it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he made him," that is Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us." Oh, he took all my stuff, man. Listen to me, my brother. Listen, my sister. Because he's gone off and left you doesn't mean that your life is over. Because he's out of your life doesn't mean that you have to wig out. It doesn't mean that you have to give the payback. Oh, listen to me, my discouraged teenager. Daddy never put his arms around you, man, and hugged you, let you know that he loved you. Son, never. But God will. He'll hold you like nobody else could. You have to trust in him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then he says that he would give us eternal life. But when you look at the verse before John 3:16, when you look at verse 15, it says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And what is this believing in him all about? Oh, my gosh. Jesus makes it perfectly clear in John chapter 17, verse 3. "And this is eternal life," Jesus says, "that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You can know God. You can know who He is. That's what it's all about. I just want to share one more scripture with you, and it's in the first epistle of John. It's found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. It reads like this, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Whomever you are listening to my voice, know this, that there's nothing greater than knowing that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. I beg of you to bow your head right now and just say, "Lord, you know my life. You know where I've been. You know what I've done. You know what I've said. You know what I've all been about." And just really reach out in your soul, man, and He'll call you. He'll call you. He'll touch you. But you got to come in genuine faith, believing in Him, totally in Him. All of us have sinned, even Pastor John. I've sinned too. Please, don't look, I'm messed up, just like you. I know better. Just bow your sweet little head and just say, "Lord, whatever it is," and He'll receive you. That is the joy of being a Christian. That is the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, of allowing Him to come in, to rule in your life. Just one verse, just one verse, that's all. Just one verse. One verse. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And He's blessing me right now. I love Him so much. You know, and He gives you joy in your heart when you come to Him. He gives you this kind of joy, and He fills you with His love. He fills you with His purpose. My brother and my sister, let Him fill you, and He'll give you the joy of the Spirit. Let me go back to work now. God bless you. Thank you for coming to the site. Thank you for allowing Christ to touch your heart and to make it all better for you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.